For those of you who don't know me, my name is Seth Yim. I'm 15. I'm a sophomore at the King's Academy.
And my name is David Rankin. I'm 15, and I'm a sophomore at Johnson Ferry Christian Academy.
So today for communion, we wanted to talk to you guys about seeking and, like, looking for God. So first I'm going to turn over to Acts 17. Starting in verse 24, the God who made everything, who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of the heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, as though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. God gave us the power and the purpose to find him and to really seek for him. In the beginning, God created us with a choice to follow the world and to look for things and to build up treasures here, or to go after him and to seek him and to love him. And God is always searching for us, no matter if we're searching for him or not. Back in January of this year, I'd become really numb towards God and the church and the Bible. I really just made this facade that I loved it and that I was, like, really spiritual and that I was trying to, like, be like the exemplary kingdom kid. But it was something that was just happening to me. It wasn't really something that I wasn't doing things for the church. The church was kind of just a part of my life. And that kind of all changed around May. I went to camp and Camp Swamp, and people will tell you amazing things about that place. It's incredible. It's one of my favorite places in the world. But it's not really the place that makes it. It is. I mean, it's apart from the world, but it's really the people and the just everybody there is just constantly trying to find God, and their priority is to be like Jesus. And that just really hit me. And it really, I really wanted that. I was really lost, and I didn't really have a place, and I really wanted that sense of like purpose and trying to be like Jesus. And so at some point during the summer, around the middle, I reached out to one of the counselors, Ralph, and I started studying the Bible with him. And he really helped spark a fire that just, like, burned for God. And, like, I really just wanted it, and I really just craved God. And, like, Jesus just became my hero. And it's all I really, it's just, it became what I wanted. And so seeking after him became a priority. So why I'm saying this, really, I'm going to turn to Matthew 7, reading verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. God said, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's the difference between us and the people of the world. We have this relationship with God. We have, we constantly build and protect and try to create this relationship with God, that, and that's the thing that separates us, and it's what God really wants. He wants us to know him and know his son, but he wants the true us. He doesn't want what we make for him or what we do for him, but he wants the real you, the person that you are, that he made you to be. And so it's Jesus, though, that gives us the opportunity for redemption, and he's the one who gives us the opportunity to connect with God on this deeper level and to really seek him and find him as we are in this world. And he's the chance that we get to, he's the reason why we get to stand in front of God just as ourselves, as our sinful selves, honestly. And so do you constantly strive to be a person who's seeking God and looking for him every day? And so I really just have a challenge for when you're taking communion today, try and think about the timing and the people that God put in your life that led you to this moment to be with him. And really just like be thankful to God for what he's done. So David's going to come up here and share a bit about how we can do that. But thank you.
Good job, Seth. So if we're striving to build our relationship with God, how do we do this? And I think we do this by actively seeking him out. And I have a bit of practicals for you guys. I'm going to be turning to a bit of scripture, so you can turn there or just feel free to listen. My first practical is prayer. In Matthew 6, the passage where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, Jesus is teaching them to honor God, but also connect with him. And I think prayer is a really big part of how we connect with God. I've been practicing praying with silence and solitude, and not just like silence in our surroundings, but in our head, and meditating with peace with God. And I think that when we have silence and solitude, and we're able to go to God in prayer and just be with him and meditate in his presence, we get to connect with him, and just spend time with the Creator. I think that's really cool. And we all pray in different ways. Some people like to go on nature walks. Some people do it by themselves. And some people fast, which I'm not good at fasting, but... my second practical is just reading the Word. In John 1:1, it says that Jesus is the Word. So I think that when we read the Bible, Jesus is pouring into our hearts and our minds. And I think that's really cool. I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, every single scripture in the Bible is breathed by God and is God's word, and it equips us for our day-to-day lives. And I also think that when we read our Bibles, it's a great way for us to do that second part of prayer. So I think for me, it's easy to pray to God and then not listen back for his answer. And then when I don't hear his answer, I tend to get discouraged and think that God doesn't hear me. But God's word is the Bible. So I think when we go to the word after we pray, we can find some of those answers in our prayers. And I think that being in the Word is the way that we actively choose to want to continue to build our relationship with God. My third practical and final practical is just each other and this unity that we have in this church and this community that we have. I think that when we have brothers and sisters that love us, we can build each other up and encourage one another. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So having these bonds where we encourage and spur one another on is, I think, a great way to pick each other up. We all have our hard times, and we can encourage each other and spur one another on. And my final scripture is Romans 12:4-6. It says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So I believe that, in a sense, God kind of calls us to have a duty to each other and to help each other. It says in verse 5 that each member belongs to all the others. And I think this is God saying that we're here to help each other and pick each other up when we're not doing well and encourage one another to actively seek God, because we can't do it on our own. And I also believe that if we try to do it on our own, Satan gets in there and he builds barriers of shame and guilt. And in my life, it's easy for me to get caught up in my sin. And when I am caught up in my sin, I tend to not bring it to God. But having these brothers and sisters that love us, we can bring it to them first. And then that helps break down those barriers we feel towards God, which helps us build our relationship with him. So I think when we become whole, Satan loses his power on us. And this comes from the encouragement and openness of others, of each other. So when we're all being open and encouraging each other, we help each other seek God. And when we are unified in love for one another, we can also remind each other of what Jesus has done for us. I think sometimes we wake up, and for me, and it's just hard. We have hard days where we don't feel, quote-unquote, good spiritually, and we just don't want to fight the good fight. But when we have each other to help us fight the good fight and encourage one another and remind us of what Jesus has done for us, it helps us want to do it. When we remember that Jesus died for our sins, that he died for us, it helps us want to seek him and want a better relationship with him. So I encourage you all to do these things. Pray, read the Bible, talk to people in the ministry, build new relationships. And I truly believe that this will help us actively seek God and build our relationship with him. With that, let us go to prayer in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all here today. I pray that you can lead us to seek you actively and to want to build our relationship with you. And I pray that during this time we can remember what your Son has done for us and that he died on the cross for our sins. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.